Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You might get your bulletin or a piece of paper handy. You might want to write down a few of these references. I'm going to start to talk about the Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation is a select group of verses out of the book of Romans that teach us really how to be saved. And so you might want to just write down the references to these verses if you don't already know them. First is Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." One of the reasons somebody has chosen these verses is because they're so simple and to the point. That verse obviously tells us that we have all sinned, and because of that sin, we need to be saved. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That verse, of course, tells us about the punishment for our sin and the gift that God offers to us. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even though we are sinners, even while we are sinners, God loves us and sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And then Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Those verses sort of give us the process. That's probably not the best word to use, but the mechanics, I guess, of how we actually get saved. We confess our sins, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we are saved. And then Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that verse assures us that everyone, anyone can be saved, that whoever will call upon Jesus, He will not reject us or them. He will save. I want to focus this morning on just one of those verses, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We all understand, I think probably all of us understand the idea of a wage. A wage is something that we earn. We work for it. We work on our jobs to earn a wage. We deserve a wage. That verse tells us, and you're afraid that I'm going to focus on the first part of the verse, but I'm not. But that verse tells us that because of our sin, every one of us have earned, we deserve eternal death in hell. But the last part of the verse tells us that there's a gift of God, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's the gift that I want to focus on this morning. As I started preparing for this message this past week, I thought, you know, maybe I should have done this before Christmas because we were all thinking about gifts. But I really want to talk about what we do or what we should do with a gift. That a gift that is intended for us. And so maybe it's appropriate that we do it after Christmas, because we've all gotten our Christmas gifts by now. So first of all, we should accept the gift. Now, that sounds obvious, right? But you realize that a gift is not really yours until you accept it. A few weeks ago, I went to the store and I bought a gift for Shara. Bought it just for her. It was the most perfect gift ever. As a matter of fact, after she got it and opened it up, it didn't work. So she had to take it back. But that's beside the point. I bought the gift for her. I brought it home. I wrapped it in Christmas paper for her. I put it under the tree for her. And then I waited for her to open it. Everything that I did, I purchased it, I prepared it, I placed it under the tree. I did all of that for her. I intended that gift for her, had her name on it even. But it wasn't hers until she received it. It wasn't hers till she opened it and received it. The same is true for us in the gift of salvation and eternal life. Listen, Jesus purchased the gift for us. He prepared the gift for us, and he is offering the gift to everyone here, to every person who's ever lived or ever will live. It was intended, the gift of God eternal life, salvation through Jesus Christ, is intended for every person. It's intended for you, but it's not yours until you receive it. I'm afraid sometimes that we think that, oh, well, you know, God's kind and gracious and loving, and He wants me to be saved, so I guess I'm just saved. Well, that's not it. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Forgiveness of sin is a gift, but it doesn't belong to you until you accept it. And we accept that gift by confessing that we're a sinner, asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins, just like this verse told us to, believe that He will, and then we receive the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. If you haven't done that, listen, that's an intentional act. And if you haven't done that, I hope that you'll do that even now, just quickly. Even just say the prayer quickly to God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I receive You as my Savior. It's really that simple. And He will do it because He intends the gift for each person. But then what about after we accept the gift? There's some things that need to happen after we accept the gift, and that is that we need to appreciate the gift. When we get a gift from somebody else, we always say thank you. It's the polite thing to do. We teach our children. Now listen, you know, you need to say, if somebody gives you something, you need to say thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We need to be thankful for the gift of salvation. Every now and then, especially around Thanksgiving time, you know, we'll be talking about being thankful and giving thanks. And every now and then, not often, but every now and then, I'll come across somebody, a Christian, and they'll say privately to me, they say, well, you know, Pastor, I just really don't have anything to be thankful for. Listen, if you're a Christian, every day we should be thankful for the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. It is not what we earned. It is not what we deserve. It is a gift of God, and we should be thankful for it. One of the ways to appreciate the gift is to understand its cost. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The gift of salvation was purchased, literally purchased, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is priceless. There is no other person in the history of the world, or ever will be in the future of the world, who qualified to purchase the gift of salvation. Only Jesus could do it. And the only way He could do it was by literally shedding His blood, giving His life, allowing Himself to be crucified on the cross of Calvary to purchase the gift of salvation. It is invaluable. And when we understand that, or as we understand that, we should appreciate the gift for its value, if nothing else. Another thing, after we accept a gift from someone, we use it, right? If it's closed, you put it on. The church bought me a computer this year, a laptop computer. I'm using it. I'm not very good at using it, but I'm using it. I had to get some help to use it, but I'm using it because it's a gift and I appreciate it. We need to use the gift of salvation. Now, I know you're thinking, well, how do I use salvation? Well, first of all, we study the Word of God. We pray. We commune with God. We get better at being Christians. When a baby is born, they're so cute and cuddly and, you know, so tiny, but they can't do anything for themselves. They have to be changed and fed and clothed and everything. Somebody else has to do it for them. Listen, if that little baby grew up physically and matured physically and was 25 years old and somebody still had to feed him and somebody still had to change their clothes and somebody still had to change their diapers, we would think there was something wrong, right? Spiritually, we're born as infants, and we're cute and cuddly when we're first born. And the more mature Christians, you know, they want to be around those cute and cuddly infant Christians because there's excitement and there's life in those new Christians. But after about After a few years, not even 25 years, listen, after a few years, after a little span of time, if that Christian is still just an infant and still has to be bottle fed and still has to be carried around, there's a problem spiritually. There's a problem because 2 Peter 3:18 says to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we're supposed to be getting better at this Christianity thing. We're supposed to be reading the Bible, and we're supposed to be obeying the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 22. I probably got Rocky messed up because I got out of line. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." I pay attention to what I preach. You may not believe that, but I do. And again, as I was preparing this message, I noticed that in the last few weeks, there's been a recurring theme in the sermons. I didn't do that intentionally, but I noticed that there was one. This is one of them. Obey the word of God. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Word of God, the Bible, is the inspired, infallible Word of Almighty God. It is not a book of suggestions. We think that. No, I don't think that, Pastor. I know it. No, we think it's suggestions because we don't do what it says. And we let ourselves off of the hook. Well, God didn't really mean I had to do that. That was just, you know, if you want life to be the best it can be, boy, that's a suggestion to follow. No, listen. These words in this book tell us, if you want to go to heaven, if you want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to be a Christian, you got to do this. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. It's wonderful to come to church and to listen to the Word of God as it's preached and taught in Sunday school classes. It's wonderful to know the Word of God, to commit it to memory. But until we do what it says, we really haven't accomplished much spiritually. We're to be obedient to the Word of God. When we get a gift from someone, we also take care of it. We maintain that gift. Well, we need to maintain our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got to work at it. If you're married, you work at your marriage. You work at your relationship with your spouse. If you don't, you should. If you don't, you're feeling the effects of it. We communicate with each other. We spend time with each other. We talk to each other. We share our hopes and our dreams, and we share the pain and the joy of life. We do that with each other because we're working at this relationship. Same thing is true with God. Listen, Christian, we have a relationship with God. So we need to talk to Him. We need to pray. We need to listen to Him. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to share with Him our joys and our hopes and our dreams and our sorrows and our sadness and our problems. He's interested. He listens. He guides. He directs. He helps. He encourages. He delivers us from tribulation, and He delivers us through tribulation sometimes. But we have to work at this relationship. Once again, I'm afraid that sometimes we think, well, I've gotten saved now. I've accepted Christ as my Savior now. I'll just kick back and relax and let God do all the work. Well, it doesn't. A relationship is a two-way street. We fellowship with God. We fellowship with God's people. We read God's Word. We obey God's Word. We do the things that He wants us to do. We experience His joy. We experience His blessings. That's a part of the relationship. That's part of what we do. To maintain the gift of God that He has given us, we work at becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Several years ago, somebody came up with this little saying, "What would Jesus do?" You remember that? And we had, you know, you had your little bracelets that you wore and all that. We got pretty... We abuse that. That's good advice. As we go through our life, we need to think about what would Jesus do? How would He react? What would He think? What would He do in response or before something happens? But we got pretty casual with that saying. I guess if we thought we could put it on our wrists, it wasn't very important. I remember one time several years ago, and I'll confess to you that it made me mad. Somebody called me. They don't go to this church. They go to another church here in town, and they called me because I was the pastor of this church. And they told me that I needed to go do something because I was the pastor of this church. And then they said, you know, after all, preacher, what would Jesus do? So they said it just like that. And boy, it just made me mad. I'll just be honest with you. You know what I told them? I said, yeah, what would Jesus do? Why don't you do it? What would Jesus do? Well, why don't we do it? We want somebody else to do what Jesus would do. We want somebody else to tell. We want somebody else to witness. We want somebody else to go be a missionary. We want somebody else to clean the church. We want somebody else to do this or do that, but because that's what Jesus would do. Boy, you need to do what Jesus would do. That's right. I need to do what Jesus would do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible doesn't say let this mind be in the pastor or the missionary or the person next to you or the Sunday school teacher or everybody, every other Christian except for you. Let this mind be in you. What would Jesus do? We maintain our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by becoming more and more like Him. He's our model. He's our example. And we need to follow Him and do the things that He wants us to do. Finally, one last thing. When we get a really good gift from somebody, we announce it, don't we? Listen, if somebody had given me a car for Christmas, I'd have told everybody that came, man, I got a car for Christmas. Not one of them little ones. One you can get in and go someplace. We have been given the greatest gift, the most precious, invaluable gift mankind has ever known, and we need to announce it. That's the second theme that has been running through the messages for the last several weeks. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, I've used this very verse two or three times. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what we do when we hear that verse? That's one of the Great Commission verses. There's two or three others. You know what we do when we hear those Great Commission verses? Boy, that's good for the missionary. That means the mission. That means Stephen Laurie Torreson, whoever they are. Stephen Laurie Torreson, that means they need to go to Uruguay. That's not what Jesus said. He said unto them, that's us, unto everybody, you go and preach the gospel. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we excuse ourselves from that by saying, well, I haven't been called to go. Yeah, you have. Mark 16:15 called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe God didn't knock you over the head, but He called you to go. So how do we do it? Physically, obviously, all of us can't go. Physically, some of us need to stay here. I'd sure like for somebody to be here next Sunday morning. I hope you all don't go to Uruguay this week. But we can go by praying for those who physically go. That's why we have every Sunday in our bulletin to pray for the missionaries. We need to pray for the missionaries because they're physically doing what God has commanded them to do and what God has commanded us to do. They're physically going into all areas, all the reaches of the world, and proclaiming the gospel. We also go, while we're physically here, we can go into the other parts of the world. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? By sending them. By financially supporting them. We don't like that either. Well, you know, I got to pay tithes to the church. And the pastor gets paid out of those tithes, and now you want me to give an offering to the missionaries, and the first thing you know, they'll be asking for an offering for something else. Money, money, money. All they want is money. We are conduits of the resources that God has given us. Let me rephrase that. We should be conduits of the resources that God has given us. Do you want more? Do you want more money? Do you want more joy? Do you want more influence? Do you want more peace? If you want more, you've got to get rid of what you've got. You can't get more if you're full. We have a reservoir out here out, what is it, west of town, somewhere over there. Listen, when that thing gets full, it's full. It can't get any more until it loses, until it gives some of what it has. God has given us resources. Now, I'm not just talking about money. Now, we've got, the church has money, and we try to give some of that money out. We're going to give some of it out next week to Steve and Lori. You have some money. I don't know how much you got. Doesn't make any difference, but you've got some money. God expects us to give some of that money out. It's a resource, and we're to be conduits. And if you want more money, well, I hope this is being recorded today. I hope everybody in the world hears this. You know, because all these preachers, you know, if you want more money, send money to the church and earmark it for the pastor's salary. And God, now listen, if you want more money, give away what you got. You can't get more if you're full. You can't get more if you don't give up and make room. So give to the missionaries, give to the church, give to the poor, give to the homeless, give to whoever needs it. Give what you got. I don't mean give it all away. I'm not trying to say be foolish, but be generous. If you want more joy, if you want more peace, if you want more of God in you, give away some of the God in you to somebody else. Empty a little out and God will fill you right back up. Empty a little out and you'll get a little more. We are conduits of the resources that God has given us. Money, time, talent, energy, abilities, skills. You pick whatever it is. We're conduits of that. He gave us whatever we've got to be used in His service to further His call to announce that there's a gift of eternal life, and we need to be conduits and quit being reservoirs. We get all filled up and then we just sit there because we're full. So let's let it go. Let's release it. Let's give it out. And then let's trust God to fill us back up. He'll do it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Wherever we are, whenever we are there, we should be lights for Jesus Christ. We should be living the life that God wants us to do. We should be showing people what it means to be Christians. And we should be telling people about Jesus. We should speak the name of Jesus. I know it's hard. I got a secret for you. It's not any easier for me than it is for you. We get embarrassed. We get afraid. We get worried, whatever the word is. We let Satan kind of work us over a little bit. And so we'd rather just live our witness than speak our witness. Well, I want everybody to live the witness of Jesus Christ because people are watching, but we need to speak His name. The Bible says that there's salvation in no other name given among men but Jesus Christ. And so we need to speak His name. We need to announce to the world that there's a free gift of eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins in the name and only in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you've accepted the gift. Are you appreciating the gift? Are you announcing the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll just come play for us for just a minute if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You need to accept the gift. That's the first step. It's here. Jesus is present. The gift is intended for you. It's got your name on it. But until that you accept it, it's not yours. If you'd like to do that this morning, you can come to the altar. Somebody will come and pray with you. Christian, let's appreciate the gift of eternal life and salvation, and let's announce that Jesus Christ saves. You come while Sheriff plays.